Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
The week of November 13th through the 17th, we had the NCC, National Cybersecurity Center, inaugural kickoff event. So today we are going to talk to some of the participants in that event and a little bit update from the National Cybersecurity Center, because we've had so many people say, what happens in these seemingly closed door events? But they weren't exactly closed door. They were open for a certain population of people. And that population for the first event was elected officials or representatives from elected officials, different states around the country. And that actually happened on the 14th and 15th, a two-day event. I was a part of the event on the 16th and 17th, which was a board members training, one of the first training sessions done by the National Cybersecurity Center to help educate the public in our leadership roles. So we're looking here today at some of the things and some of the people that talked, what type of things they had to say for that event. And also on the 13th, we had a great kickoff evening dinner at the Broadmoor. I would guess there was probably 200 people in that event, plus maybe more, just by my assessment. Eric is going to come on and talk a little bit. He might have some exact numbers on that. But that event was a great success, where we had the governor himself speaking, Mayor Suthers, as well as a couple honored guests, speakers from the CIA, cybersecurity past lead, I think the director of cybersecurity programs for the Central Intelligence Agency. We're not going to get him on today, but hopefully we will in the future for a future event. It's an exciting show here today, and I hope you enjoy. Joe Bonnell from Alchemy Security. So give me a little bit of your background and what brought you to speaking and connecting with the NCC over there at this event.
Well, I really kind of came up through the ranks as a practitioner. You know, I started as a security engineer, herding cats, essentially, making sure they were hardening systems to IBM's then current standard. And along the way, ended up running the ethical hacking team at IBM, and then running professional service systems needs before I started Alchemy. And Alchemy is really, you know, we do a lot of different types of things here, but it's still fundamentally grounded in trying to provide, you know, kind of a holistic approach to, you know, the overall security problem. And, you know, we're doing that in part with security monitoring, you know, which is having good detective controls is a key requirement no matter really what security framework you're looking at. We also do pen testing and, you know, some offensive things as well. You know, and we really got our name in the community just by participating in events mostly. You know, I've been around long enough to where people know who I am, and I certainly bring a kind of a different flavor to the conversation, you know, just because I see things in kind of my own way, and I've seen enough to where it, you know, if we're not having that frank and open discussion, there's really just kind of no point, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing that the NCC was essentially getting engaged and having subject matter experts like myself come in to talk to, you know, this particular constituency is great. And I just really look forward to seeing more of it.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack.
Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So, you know, obviously the NCC is doing some interesting things down in Colorado Springs. I'm really interested in seeing what their, you know, what the long-term strategy is, you know, and trying to get the right mind share with the right people. I found that to be pretty interesting as part of the conversation yesterday or last week, was that, you know, there was a couple of practitioners in the room, but the good news is it was only a couple of practitioners instead of, a room full of people that have been in the field for a long time, kind of arguing about what might be the right for this, that, or the other. It had the right, you know, the people that were in attending that particular event, you know, obviously decision makers, boards of directors, C-levels, higher level thinkers that clearly are looking to better understand and solve these security problems that we're all facing. And one of the challenges that, you know, that I continue to see, and one of the things that I think was kind of clear through the course of that event, was that there's a lot of education that needs to happen from particularly in the senior ranks, and better understanding the subject, certainly understanding the challenges that that we as an industry face as practitioners, and understanding on a day-to-day level what we as practitioners are up against, with a better armed adversary, more resources, more time, and certainly more desire to do harm, whereas most organizations are just, they're not in the business of doing harm to others, they're in the business of whatever it is that they do, right? And so to hear them and see them ask very good kind of pointed questions about, pardon me, and even kind of calling out to some degree some of the things that that they've seen. There was a good question that was asked of me, for example. My conversation was all about, how do you communicate effectively with a CISO, and how do you get in the CISO's mindset so you can have a very connection with the CISO. And, one of the questions that came back was, sometimes you might not want to actually use, in this case, I think, there was, in my presentation, I was talking about this really needs to be a metrics-driven discussion of, everybody singing from the same kind of proverbial sheet of music, talking about, the various controls and where they're at with respect to a given organization. And, the concern was raised is, well, if you get too granular, it could come back to be a liability standpoint, with respect to board minutes and all that. And that's something that I hadn't even really, kind of considered before, because I'm always, you got to start with acceptance being the first step to recovery. And if you don't understand what the problems are, and you can't talk about those problems in an effective way, then, you get to a point where, you're not really having a conversation. And so, just even having that mindset of recognizing that you have to be careful about what you say or how you position things
just to limit the liability from the very thing you're trying to avoid was, you know, kind of an interesting sidebar, if you will.
Yeah, you know, I remember that conversation, and it was interesting because it was almost like actual board members are saying, we don't want to know the details so we don't get in trouble later. Because if we knew that, and that was written in the board meeting minutes, then we're responsible for it. Is that what you heard too?
You know, well, really what I heard was more along the lines of just people trying to think through all the issues. I mean, I didn't actually take that away. I thought that was just a good question and one I hadn't really thought of before, of like, you know, what could the company be held liable for if you had a board minutes that included kind of where you're actually at when it comes to your security controls versus where you think you might otherwise be if you're talking in more nebulous terms. But I'm sure some board members might try to hide behind some of the liability by just saying we can't talk about this in such public ways.
Yeah, and I think I remember, like I said, I remember that conversation, and it was interesting that basically when you start a program, you might have some negative look of what does our security posture look like, and they said, well, we don't want to have that come up because then we have to include it in the board meeting minutes, and it might look bad in the future for somebody who doesn't know the context. Just looks back and says, look, you knew about all these problems and you didn't do anything, even though they are doing something. They just didn't want to have that level of granularity documented.
Yeah. You know, the reality is I think most organizations just kind of have to get past the point of either beating themselves up with where they're at or whatever, but really just kind of saying, okay, this is where, you know, our baseline today. Like I was talking about, and using kind of a combination of, you know, a generally accepted security framework, and then attaching, you know, kind of a maturity ranking to various controls to where, you know, you can get a good solid baseline of where your organization's at today and what you really need to do to move the needle forward over time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that we're ever going to be able to escape the liability conversation per se, but I think there is a good way to be there has to be a thoughtful way of being able to have these conversations with board members, you know, since they ultimately carry the fiduciary responsibility on behalf of shareholders to make sure they're asking the right questions.
Yeah, so definitely a good comment. I'd like to. That was one of the ones that I remember hearing too, and was rather interesting. Yeah, and we definitely appreciated your comments and your presentation there. And thanks for joining today. Once again, Joe Bunnell from Alchemy Security. But thanks a lot for giving us a little update on what you took away from the NCC inaugural training event. Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Since the year 2000, BOCOR has had a history of being a leader in the Colorado cybersecurity community. They have served many Front Range customers in both government and commercial industries. Right now, BOCOR is looking for qualified cybersecurity professionals and offering competitive salaries, comprehensive benefit packages, tuition support, and exciting career opportunities working with cutting-edge technology. If this sounds like you, and you have a desire to guide our customers through the treacherous cybersecurity landscape, consider joining the BOCOR team. Visit us today at www.bocor.com. That's BOCOR.com. BOECORE.com. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan.
Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Today we have Eric Hoffenbach, who is now going to be taking on the director of systems
of staff.
At the National Cybersecurity Center.
Yeah.
And we're just going to talk a little bit about the inaugural kickoff event.
Yeah.
What happened? A little bit of, you know, I took some notes because I was attending several of the events. I thought it was a great introduction to everything.
Yeah.
But we wanted to get some out for the public so people could understand what went on there, because it was a little bit of a closed door session.
Sure.
And we wanted to have that transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly, you know, as we continue to put on events, we are looking to do events that are certainly targeted to focus groups. So like our first two events, which I'll get into in a second. But, you know, over the course of the next year, we'll have some other events going on that are going to be open more towards general audiences or towards targeted focus groups, because, you know, as we're getting out of the gates, we want to do it right, and we want to make sure we're targeting the right groups to out of the get-go. But yeah, as you mentioned, about 2 weeks ago, we had our inaugural event. Our first event was a kickoff. We started with a kickoff dinner on November 13th. That was introduced by the governor, Governor Hickenlooper. Gave us a very nice introduction, as long as a keynote speaker from Gus Hunt, who retired chief technology officer of the CIA, gave a great talk about the big scary.
Yeah, and the future of cybersecurity. I really enjoyed his talk there.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. And he geared it well towards the audience, which was more of the general public from Colorado Springs, from Denver, mm-hmm. Wanting to make sure not to talk over anyone's head, because
it did get a little technical.
It did.
I was looking around a couple times. I was like, I wonder how many people here actually understood the last 5 minutes. And
yeah,
there was some times like that, some stretches.
Definitely. But the event was really nice opening to say, the NCC, we're here, we have some initial capability, and we're excited for building for the future. And that first event was really geared towards elected officials. We were really hoping to get governors, mayors, county commissioners, attorneys general from across the nation. And we managed to get some elected officials from about 10 different states. So we had a great turnout from as far away as Maine, mm-hmm. On the East Coast, and had a great representation of mayors, some county commissioners, some chief information officers from those offices. So really geared towards elected officials and their staffs. And those sessions were really, we had some keynote speaker types just talking about the latest trends in cyber and cybersecurity, but we also had a couple of tabletop exercises for folks to follow along with.
Yeah. So when you were putting that together,
yeah.
What was your thoughts? Like, what do we need for this audience? What were you thinking?
Yeah, you know, and it's been a learning process since the beginning. Certainly a lot of credit goes to Kyle Hibble, who's on the board of the NCC, who's really the lead for the Cyber Institute pillar, which puts on these conferences. And the planning process has been Ed Rios, who is our CEO, he actually was helping along in the planning process initially, helped brainstorm some of the speakers that we thought would be really helpful for elected officials, really to gain some more tools in their toolbox to, I guess, discuss cybersecurity strategy, eventually create policy around cybersecurity, but also, mm-hmm. you know, learn how to allocate resources, how to factor it in into your budgeting process, and really making sure that it's actually at the forefront of their minds as they're going back to their jurisdictions.
Yeah. So then, now looking in retrospect, what was your takeaway from what should have been in that planning process?
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing we wish we had, you know, the timing was one that we really were focused on for a while. With it being right after the election, that was a little challenging to get on some elected officials' schedules because they weren't sure if they'd be in office again.
So timing, overall time of year would have been a change there, huh?
We'll see. I'm not sure if we changed the exact time of the year. You know, we might shift it a month or two, mm-hmm. But that was certainly challenging. There was also a large Republican governor's conference happening at about the same time, and so that took away, you know, over half of our potential attendees at the governor level. So that was a little bit difficult to navigate with, but certainly something we can adjust.
So competing with other resources. Did you know that those were going on at the time or not find out kind of early till after it was too late to?
It was more we found out later in the year after this planning process had already gotten going. And we really wanted to, as we had been marketing, here are the dates of our opening event. We had to make sure to follow through with a big event, and I think we followed through pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a one thing that, you know, in there was a difference, I guess, talk about the difference between the event that was Monday and Tuesday mm-hmm. and an event that was Wednesday and Thursday. So the 14th and 15th, there was elected officials. Mm-hmm. And then the 16th and 17th was the board members.
Yeah.
Now, tell us about the difference between those and what you looked at as a difference when you made the plans for who was speaking, for what was being covered, things like that.
Sure. And for our second event after the elected officials, the one that was focused towards board members and C-suite folks, we worked collaboratively with Owl Cybersecurity based out of Denver, and they helped create some of the agenda and itinerary for that second training session. And they were really geared towards what is the baseline level of knowledge that a C-suite member or a board member needs to have as they're thinking about running their company, and when their chief information officers or their CISO asks, you know, various questions or is talking about what they need to do in their company and how much money it's going to cost, these mm-hmm. members need to have a baseline knowledge of what is necessary to protect their data, their information. So the second session was definitely geared towards probably a more 30,000 foot view of cyber and cybersecurity and what information those folks should know, but also what questions they should be asking their chief information officers, their CISOs, to make sure that they're actually, you know and in the loop of what's going on.
What was your feedback from that training?
We actually got some great feedback. For the most part, the overall satisfaction was excellent. Some folks had, there were some presentations that got a little bit too in the weeds, it sounded like, or the actual delivery of the presentation was not quite as up to par as we were hoping for, but those are things we can improve on for the next time and mm-hmm. get, you know, and provide that feedback to the speakers we had to make sure that they're improving in their talks around the country. And so overall, we got some great feedback that, you know, not everyone is an expert. We had an exercise where folks clicked on a link thinking that it was coming from our executive assistant at the NCC, and it turns out it was a fake account, but it sure enough had sort of spooked folks to say, oh yeah, we got to be diligent about these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that type of tactic? Because I want to talk about that in general.
Yeah.
As far as you had one of your presenters mm-hmm. get your list of people that were attending the event. Mm-hmm. How did they get that list?
I am not sure, actually.
It's
a
good
question.
You.
Okay.
The when Ashley sent out to everybody, she included everybody in visible copy.
Interesting.
So that's something to take away from an events planning perspective.
Okay.
Keep everybody blind carboned.
Can
write your notes.
Appreciate that.
But so what do you think overall about coming into an event about cybersecurity mm-hmm. and everybody's being scared? It's a fear tactic.
Yeah.
Does that help the overall path to say, let's scare everybody?
You know, it's a good question. I think it goes both ways. So on one hand, it is a good tactic because it gets your attention right away. And you think, wow, I'm significantly vulnerable in that situation. You know, that backfires when folks could come back and say, I did not particularly like feeling embarrassed potentially in that moment. But I think that itself is a good way of sort of drawing direct attention mm-hmm. to it.
So, and I've been going to cybersecurity conferences for a good part of a decade or
sure.
more. And the number of times I've seen that same tactic, it's like we as a cybersecurity industry rely on fear mm-hmm. to get people to react.
Yeah.
But if you look at the human psychology, we don't react on fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something that, you know, teach us. This is just from Chris Gorog, what I would say.
Yeah.
Teach us what can be done, what mm-hmm. people are doing, but minimize the fear tactic
sure.
in the presentation would be my input
yeah.
directly.
Well, and that's, I mean, I certainly appreciate that, and I was going to ask you if you had any other feedback as an attendee who certainly has a breadth of knowledge coming into it as opposed to some of our other attendees who had practically no experience at all.
The thing that was the most interesting to me from that perspective mm-hmm. is the current stats. Getting some industry's perspective from some of the Price Waterhouse, mm-hmm. some of the guys that were in the trenches with the CIO or CISO, and some of the consultants that bring in some stats from the whole industry.
Yeah.
So now those type of things are useful. You know, very much so for anybody is to say, what's the direction? What's the trend?
Mm-hmm.
Also, on the recommendations is more things that are proactively being done.
Mm-hmm.
One of the comments, when the Pricewaterhouse guy was talking about what are the stats, how many people have been hacked this year, how many companies, what's the increase? And they're showing these increasing charts of hacking, data loss, privacy breaches. And, I asked one question. I said, is that actual increases or is it just our ability to detect what's happening? Because literally 3-4 years ago, we didn't have a spotlight to be able to detect what was happening.
Certainly.
So we're probably looking more at we're in this time of being able to detect what's happening more and more.
Yeah.
And our numbers will get to a point where they're leveled out as to we know what's happening.
Yeah.
And we might, right now we're not sure if more intrusions are happening or we're just becoming more aware.
True.
So that's a big thing that we see in the cyber industry in general.
Yeah.
But we do love to see how are we comparing this year from last?
Yeah.
Something that people are doing right would be my other. So how can you say, let me get some companies that are doing something right. Now I know this is hard because if you're doing something right, you want to keep quiet because you don't want to be a target.
Yep.
But maybe even some anonymous breaths on that.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing about your point there is that sharing if you're doing something right makes you a target, but it also potentially loses a competitive advantage you have over your direct competitor in your industry. Though I think the way we're hoping to get people to think more about cybersecurity is that a sort of a rising tide lifts all boats, because yes, if you're doing something right, it means you're actually protecting your information, but
mm-hmm.
X company as your competitor would also want to protect their information, and I would imagine want to be collaborative in that effort, because if one company in the same industry gets hacked using a certain method, another company in the same industry could be hacked using the same method. So I think we're hoping for more collaboration across industries and across government, nonprofit, and private sector.
And you'll see that, and that's been the tie back in cybersecurity is, I can't tell anybody what I'm doing because somebody else will find a way around it, or that's our secret sauce or whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it's, how well we're meeting, and you saw from especially the gentleman was talking about the overall view of the health of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And making metrics of, from a high level, thousands of things that need to be addressed cybersecurity-wise, and how many of them, percentage-wise, are we even addressing?
Sure.
So those type of stats, a company can say, if we're hitting the 60% mark of covering the compliance or the recommended best practices in our industry,
mm-hmm.
how are we doing from a year ago when we were covering 50%? Now, that's not a secret. That's just, we're building a compliance or a cybersecurity program organization-wide. Those type of stats would be helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think that's something that we're going to look to incorporate into future presentations, not only for these maybe more focused group events, but also to more general public information, because one thing we're really trying to do at the NCC is, our vision is enabling cybersecurity knowledge and expertise for all, which is very lofty, certainly, especially in the expertise front. But if we can help make everyday people on the streets, in their companies, know more about what they should be doing to protect their information, then it's going to make everyone overall better off, I think.
Okay. So right now, politically, mm-hmm. cybersecurity, the NCC, it's a big buzz.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to die away at some point in time. What's the thought for when the novelty of the new toy mm-hmm. is not there? And I'll give you the example of, and I've interviewed a couple people that said the same thing. It's like, you can't give cybersecurity training away.
Yeah.
Unless it's a political
mm-hmm.
hot topic. And there's years in between where it just goes off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to address those times?
No, it's a valid question, and I think the election season this year has only helped.
Made it hot, you're
made
right.
Made it even more hot. So I think that's certainly a challenge that we're going to address down the road when it cools off a little bit. I think we'll continue to see cybersecurity as the hot topic, certainly through the next couple of years, because companies are continuing to get hacked. Companies are still having to report that they do get hacked, or, you know, these hacktivist groups are going to be continue to, you know, ruffle the feathers.
And this goes back to our conversation on we're able to detect better.
Yeah.
So our detection tools are the first thing that are being developed.
Exactly.
And I saw the Owl Cybersecurity. They had a great product where they're scraping the dark web.
Yeah.
You know, what stuff is being bought and sold for your privacy, and your, you know, hacking people hacking into your account, and they sell your information on these sites, and they're keeping records of that for as much as they can gather, and bringing up awareness as to what is being done. I think it, you know, that particular product. But I asked him one question over there. I said, well, what are you using this for other than just to tell people that there's something wrong? And we're still in a big question mark in that area.
Yeah.
So yes, we're in the detection and awareness of what's happening, but we're wondering, you know, how much have things actually changed?
Sure.
Or are we just able to detect it more? And then how do we get out of that stage, you know, of just detecting?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. And I think it's going to take a collaborative effort in terms of moving on from just simply detection. But then, as you were mentioning, how do we go into the proactive strategies to make sure that we don't no longer have to just rely on detection for what's happening, but if we have a proactive strategy that's keeping the bad guys out anyways.
What anything that the NCC is doing in that area yet?
As of right now, we're still developing it. And certainly our rapid response center pillar that we're developing, we're hoping to incorporate some of those proactive strategies, you know, because we're really in that pillar.
I think we'll have to find them first. We're going to find out who's doing it.
That's exactly right.
They might even have to be developed a little bit right now.
Oh, I know. And certainly we're continuing to develop. We are in, as of next month, we will be in our 12th month or 11th month, I guess, of existence. So we're continuing to develop and listen to experts, because the best we can do right now.
Baby steps, right?
Yeah.
Baby steps. So another thing, comment that, from me personally.
Sure.
The lack of kind of critical infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And Internet of Things. You know, we heard our keynote speaker on Sunday night, the 13th, talk about how the growth is going in that direction at 10 to 100 times the size of what we're seeing right now. But I didn't hear anything other than information security.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, stopping hackers, putting up firewalls, you know, protecting your databases at companies.
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing in that area? And I know I talked to Ed about this. If you don't have anything, we're kind of working in that direction.
Fair.
But that's something I just wanted to put the light that I saw in a big way. Is that's my background. As I was listening for anything we're going to talk about that says, how are we going to hit that?
Yeah.
Because if we want to be a leader in cybersecurity as an area, we've got to hit the new and emerging, what we're going into.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of areas, other organizations, standards bodies that are covering very well the information security.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's something we'll continue to work towards. And Ed Rios is having conversations with folks like you and those in the private sector, because he's really, you know, focused on getting NCC on the leading edge. Because if we want Colorado Springs to be sort of a new, I mean, it's already a hub for cyber and
the
cybersecurity.
New cyber frontier.
But even more. Weird,
didn't
there
we
you
do
go.
A good one here?
Good lead in. That's well done.
Little plug.
Yeah.
Shameless right there.
That's right. Yeah.
So anything else? Any other takeaways? Things that we're going to look at in the future here?
No, I would say just coming from the NCC, you know, as we move into 2017 and start to develop more of these events that, again, are some geared towards focus groups, some are definitely open for public use and public information, we're really just trying to continue to listen and hear from experts about how we can maintain our collaborative stance as a, you know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit that we certainly partner with state and local government, as well as we as we're incorporating an ISO into the NCC, we'll have a feed from the Department of Homeland Security for real-time threat information. You know, we have those partnerships, but we're still our own. We want to maintain our image as this neutral, collaborative entity that we're here to assist with response, education, training, and research down the road. So we're excited for the new year. We'll move into our new facility around July of next year.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to getting that renovated, retrofitted, and then we'll move.
Have you been over there yet to breathe some of that asbestos?
Oh, yes. It smells quite nice. Yeah, really breathes well at this point. No, it's a solid facility. We're excited to have that amount of space to work with.
It's big.
Yeah.
So what's the next? Any news releases, anything out? What's the next thing you got planned?
We've got a board meeting coming up later in December, which will be certainly an exciting event to sort of recap and talk about the events we've done and see where we go forward with regards to training and education in our CRETC pillar, Cyber Research Education and Training Center.
Yeah. But no events scheduled, no more training in the future,
no
next year,
no,
annual?
No date set yet.
No date set.
But certainly we're going to have another big elected officials training event probably in the latter half of the year. We're going to be doing some smaller training events for board and C-suite members over the mm-hmm. course of the year, maybe every couple of months or so. We're really hoping to get a regular training schedule, you know, and have them either be broadly 30,000 foot cybersecurity or dive into certain topics like cyber law. I'm forgetting some other ones that we've brainstormed a few and tossed them around. So
okay. So call to action. I've had so many people say, I'm just myself, but how can I get involved with this? Because it's kind of exciting right now. It's politically hot.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we're developing as a nonprofit and our funding model, we're really seeking volunteers to help out with a variety of different tasks. And so
what are some of those? Give some examples so people can call in, contact you.
Certainly, you know, we're looking at some assistance with communications as we get going. We're still in the process of sort of finalizing our volunteer plan. That's what we're going to finalize here in December and make sure that we are using people's skills in the appropriate way. So I would say for now, reach out to myself, to Ashley, our executive assistant and office manager, to Ed, and let
and
us
that's
know
the
your
contact's available on the website?
That is correct.
Which is nationalcybersecuritycenter.org.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And so that's how you get in contact with Eric or Ashley,
please.
nationalcybersecuritycenter.org. Reach out to them and say, how can I get involved? How can I help?
Yeah, we'd be happy to get back to you and sit down and see how we can best use anyone's skills to the best of our abilities.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today, Eric.
Thanks, Chris.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks for the updates. We'll definitely get that out to the community.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Bye.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.